Hey everybody, this is Chris from Inner Demons, and once again, we'd already recorded this episode before news of yet another creator death. This time, the legendary Stan Lee passed away at the age of 95. Stan is obviously he's one of the architects of Marvel as we know it, and his role in creating Ghost Rider may be minimal, but it's certainly impactful. You know, he's the one that gave Ghost Rider the name of Johnny Blaze. And without his editorial hand with Roy Thomas, you know, the Ghost Rider concept may have never got off the ground. So, and of course, without Stan, Marvel as a whole wouldn't be around, which means that Ghost Rider wouldn't either. Stan Lee, along with Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, their contribution to comic book history is undeniable, and it's very sad that another legend has passed. So, didn't want to let the episode go by without mentioning that. And now, on with our regularly scheduled Ghost Rider program.
You're listening to Inner Demons, the comic book podcast based on Marvel's very own spirit of vengeance, Ghost Rider. Here we will discuss comics, news, movie and TV appearances, and everything in between. And now, here are your hosts on this fiery road to hell, Chris Munn and Brian Biggie. Let's ride.
Welcome, everyone, to another new episode of Inner Demons. I am one of your hosts, Chris Munn, and with me, as always, is Brian Uatu the Watcher Biggie. What is up, Brian?
Chris, what is going on, my friend?
Oh, not too much. We've got a whole episode of new comics, once again, to review. Marvel's really been churning these things out. Of course, we were on hiatus for quite a while, so we had a backlog to get through. Mm-hmm. This episode, we're going to be looking at Cosmic Ghost Rider issues 3 and 4, mm-hmm. Thanos Legacy number 1, which guest starred Cosmic Ghost Rider, and What If Ghost Rider number 1. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, I've got just a little bit of news to go over related to Cosmic Ghost Rider, which was actually revealed quite a while ago, but we wanted to save it for our Cosmic Ghost Rider episode. Mm-hmm. Donny Cates is going to be relaunching Guardians of the Galaxy in January, and one of the revealed cast members for that is going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. So anyone that's looking for Cates to continue his work on Cosmic Ghost Rider, definitely going to have to follow from the miniseries on to Guardians of the Galaxy, which, and I believe is Jeff Shaw the artist on that too, now that I think about it?
I think he is.
So it's the Thanos Wins team reuniting for this. Mm-hmm. And they had a big image of all the characters that are supposed to be considered for the cast of it. And I think all the ones that are sort of in starry silhouette are not the real members. And I think they're settling on like Nova, Darkhawk, Cosmic Ghost Rider, mm-hmm. And a couple others I can't remember. Star-Lord, mm-hmm. And I can't remember the rest. But that should be really cool. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is a series that I've never really read. You know, I know the movies, and that's about it. But I'll definitely be checking it out for Cosmic Ghost Rider and for Donny Cates, because anything that guy writes here lately seems to be really, really, really good.
Same here. Have you been keeping up with Venom? Have you read any of the Venom stuff?
I read the first 3 issues, but I haven't kept up with it since then. And I liked it. I'm not a Venom fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I like his series. I like the horror bent that he's brought to it. So
yeah. I've been meaning to check it out myself. So
we're going to be doing a lot of Cates reviews tonight. So let's jump straight into our first 2 comics. Okay, first off tonight, in our second episode in a row of all new reviews, we are going to look at Cosmic Ghost Rider, issues number 3 and 4, written by Donny Cates, with artwork by Dylan Burnett, and colors by Antonio Fabella. So the second issue ended with Galactus and Uatu the Watcher in the past being confronted by Frank Castle, the Cosmic Ghost Rider, and Baby Thanos, who he has kidnapped. Castle is wanting to raise Baby Thanos to not be a genocidal madman. And the Watcher came and said, like, this is the worst idea ever. And then Cable showed up, traveling back in time with his own Guardians of the Galaxy, which consisted of Jubilee, of all characters, Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan with Captain America's shield, a hybrid Rocket Raccoon and Groot, and the mighty, unstoppable Juggerduck, which is Howard the Duck as the Juggernaut. Issue number 3 starts off with the Watcher narrating, says, I am Uatu the Watcher, sworn to never interfere. It is my duty to observe and chronicle events of great cosmic importance. Behold, as I have been tasked with observing a time-displaced Frank Castle, who has inexplicably been infused with the cosmic powers befitting a herald of Galactus, as well as the demonic fuel that drives all those known as Ghost Riders. And as if that weren't enough, this brazen loon has now traveled back in time and has taken the infant Thanos under his bony wing in an attempt to change the course of history. It is, of course, a literal fool's errand, but even one such as I must admit, it is quite a lot of fun to watch. And that's, you see, the Guardians of the Galaxy attacking Ghost Rider as he's fleeing on his space bike. And Thanos, Baby Thanos says, why do you run? Can you not kill these people? Frank says, no. Yes, I could kill all of them just so, so easily. I have cosmic hellfire powers. It wouldn't even be close. But of course, he's trying to not kill people because he doesn't want to teach Thanos about murdering. But Captain Ms. Marvel throws her shield and hits Ryder in the head and knocks him out. He pulls the gun, his space gun, his cosmic gun, I don't know, whatever the hell, his gun. And Cable introduces them as the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, there's Juggerduck, a duck named Howard in possession of the Gem of Sidorak, ducking unstoppable. Jubilee, Nuff said. Iron Groot, Rocket, piloting a mech suit made out of his tree buddy. Shut up, you like it. Captain Marvel, Kamala Khan, but in the future and all grown up, now with added shield. So she's not Captain America, she's Captain Marvel. My bad. Cable explains that he says, we've come from the future, a future you created where you raised that monstrosity, and we came to stop you. And they want the baby. And Frank gets up and says, look, I would love to help you, but I don't care about your future. The future can be changed. I'm going to raise the kid. That's all there is to it. But then the Guardians point out, but nothing changed. You gave your stupid speech, and we're all still here. He's still going to turn evil. And that's when Frank points out that everyone but me forgot about the giant purple dude. And Galactus intervenes, kills all of the Guardians of the Galaxy except for Cable, blows Cable's arm off, and, you know, the Rider thanks Galactus, says, you know, but just like old times, thank you, save me from having to kill these guys in front of the kid. Galactus says, thank me not, Rider, Galactus will still kill this child. Though I will not allow harm to befall the Herald of Galactus, the child shall still be held accountable for what it will become. But Cable's still barely alive. He's like, slide. Ghost Rider says, ugh, okay, just give me a minute, okay? Cable is still alive for whatever reason. And Cable time teleports away, body sliding. And then he reappears just a second later, and he has grown giant size, and he shrinks Galactus. No, he shrinks Galactus using Pym particles. He says, Cable says, I went back to my own timeline, spent 20 years or so perfecting the perfect solution to take care of our Galactus problem. Pym particles. And he takes Galactus and he loads him in his gun like a bullet and shoots him out into outer space past the Watcher. And Ghost Rider says, that's not cool, man. Galactus never did anything to anyone. You just shot him into space. Galactus has murdered millions upon billions of people, but it's okay. That's really funny. Before Ghost Rider can do anything, Cable teleports away again and comes back again, even older, with a cloak and dagger and some Iron Man looking thing, and the Thing and Gambit of all characters. And they all attack because they're wanting to, you know, kill the kid. You know, so Ghost Rider runs away. He flies up to the Watcher and throws the baby to Uatu. He says, "Watch this baby and don't let him see what I'm doing. Shit's about to get real fucking explicit." And God, this comic's so great. So he's decided that he is going to, he's not going to worry about changing anymore. He's just going to take care of this problem once and for all. It, you know, this is trying to change. I truly am. But this, good or bad, cosmic or demonic, this is what I was put on this earth to do. And he just plows. He kills all of them except for Cable, again, in one hit. And Cable says, "Slide by 10. And he teleports away again. And it comes right back. Again. Ghost Rider, he keeps massacring everyone that Cable brings from the future. And Cable keeps teleporting. He's getting older and older and older. As Castle is just killing all these characters. Like Sabretooth, Rogue, Moon Knight, War Machine, Beta Ray Bill, the Hulk, the Human Torch. And there's some pretty great narration in here, actually. It says, where Castle says, "I'd be sitting in traffic or watching my kid or something, but really I'd be right here, where I belong, in the war. My wife, Maria, she used to look at me with horror in her eyes in those moments. Frank, honey," she'd say, "you don't have to fight the whole world." And it's this awesome double-page spread of Ghost Rider just annihilating hero after hero after hero that Cable keeps bringing from the future, with these little inset panels of baby Thanos watching with his eyes. He's in horror at what's going on. And he's also learning. But Frank's finally wearing out, and he gets punched by, it looks like maybe Ms. Marvel with the Iron Fist? I'm not sure. And they all start dogpiling on him, and the writer's saying, "Uatu, get the kid out of here. Thanos, run, run." And as the heroes start beating him up, he blacks out. Then it says 15 minutes later, he wakes up. He's in his human form again. He says, "Wait, why am I not? Oh, hell." And baby Thanos has killed the rest of the heroes, and he is beating Cable to death with his own severed robotic arm. And Frank grabs him with his chain and pulls him. He goes, "Damn it, Thanos, what did I tell you? No murder." That's right, no murders. And before Cable can teleport again, Ghost Rider shoots him. He goes, "Bram, bram, bram. Hey, hey, no, no more sliding. You listen to me. You leave me and my kid alone. You hear me?" And Cable, he's just grizzled. I mean, even old. Old as fuck, old man. He says, "You don't understand, Frank. The Thanos you raised, you think you know, but you don't. He's worse. Oh, God, he's so much worse. Please, Frank, you have to." And then someone shoots Cable in the head. Ghost Rider turns around and says, "Oh, no way." And an adult Thanos strides through a time portal, dressed as the Punisher, and says, "Hey, Dad, sorry I'm late." And that's where number three ends. That takes us directly into Cosmic Ghost Rider number 4, which was, again, by Donny Cates, Dylan Burnett, and Antonio Fabella. And it opens with Frank's narration. And he's saying, "A while back, and a few million years from now, I found myself working as the black right hand of the Mad King Thanos. It's the worst damn thing I ever done. It's why I'm doing this, stealing baby Thanos from his crib and all of that. If I can change his destiny, then maybe there's hope for me too. But then that's the problem, right? If I'm a monster, if I'm truly damned, what the hell am I changing him into?" And Punisher Thanos, adult Thanos, is saying, like, come on, we need to go. And Frank's having a lot of time processing this. Baby Thanos says, who is this ugly man? That's you, the version of you I raised from the future. Oh, yeah, sorry. It's great. Baby Thanos comes and walks over to him and looks at his adult self and just goes, are you a cosmic serial killer? And he says, ha, no, little one, no, that's not me, not anymore. And the baby says, well, what are you? And he says, I'm the Punisher. And Frank just goes, oh, for fuck's sake. And they go through the time portal and they see it looks like paradise. It's like the American Midwest with windmills and a glorious sunrise or sunset, not sure which, but it looks beautiful. And there's people like flying kites and having picnics, and Frank turns back into his human self and he's like, what is this? This is beautiful. You did this? Thanos says, we did this together. No crime, no predation, a place where families can feel safe. This is our dream. This is our home. And Frank closes his eyes and he says, I knew it. I knew there was hope. But Thanos says, Father, there is something I need to show you. And it's his grave. It's Frank's own grave. And Thanos says, you know, we freed you from your curse. But Frank says, no, I don't want to know how I died. And all he wants to know is if his life mattered. But then he notices smoke coming from the distance. And he goes to the edge of the field, the meadow, or whatever they're in. And he sees the city. And it's this squalid hellhole, half-destroyed city with blimps flying in the air with the Punisher symbol that says Liberty in Penance. And a big statues of Cosmic Ghost Rider and Punisher Thanos. And Frank, he's like, what is this? And Thanos says, those people, they didn't want the peace we brought to them. They wanted crime, murder, injustice, and hate. It couldn't be allowed to spread, so I separated them. I cast them out. It is the merciful thing to do, yes? This is where Cable and his little rebellion spawned from. Which is apparently every single Marvel superhero ever was in this city, because that's who Cable was bringing back with him. But anyway, and Frank asks about the camps. Thanos is keeping people in almost concentration camps. And Frank says, this is not what I do. This is not what I want. You're making them suffer. You're torturing them. Thanos replies, I am punishing them. And it's this great moral quandary where he says, this is wrong. You're leaving those people to die out there. And baby Thanos says, why is it wrong? You were going to leave an entire planet to die when the purple giant came to eat them. You said killing people was bad, but you said it was okay to leave them. There's a difference between killing people and letting them die. And of course, Frank has no reply to that. And he just says, you know, he transforms into Ghost Rider and he says, there's no such thing as destiny. We can change things, Thanos. We don't have to be what we've become. And Thanos says, what would you have me do? You raised me to not kill, and yet we cannot allow these people to intermingle with the good. They will never accept the life we've given them. They are incapable of peace. They can never be redeemed. And Ghost Rider says, they deserve a chance to be forgiven, Thanos. You can't just dole out death sentences because people don't fall in line. Which Thanos points out the hypocrisy and Frank rages against. And Thanos points out something else, a cabin where Frank Castle as a young man is standing with his wife Maria, him and his wife. And Thanos explains that after they settled back on Earth, Thanos went back in time to when Frank's family was killed, and he stopped them and changed Frank's future again. Frank becomes angry. He says, if she's still here, if she's still alive, why did this all still happen? Why is he in there? Why does he allow you to do this? His life is perfect, and he still ends up working for you. That can't be true. And Frank grabs baby Thanos and he says, you made me into this. And he pulls his gun and he's gonna execute baby Thanos. It says, every dimension, every timeline, you damn me and turn me into a monster. Not again. It says, I'm doing what I should have done a long time ago. And Thanos shoots him in the face with some eye lasers. And beats Frank to unconsciousness and says, we could have ruled this world together, but worry not, Father. There's still a place for you here as my herald. And that is where this surprisingly deep issue ends. All right, so Brian, what did you think of Cosmic Ghost Rider 3 and 4?
So these ones, I've been really enjoying this Cosmic Ghost Rider miniseries. I'm glad he's going to move on to the Guardians at some point. Of course, he'll be part of an ensemble rather than the star, but it's totally balls to the wall crazy, but with some powerful moments mixed in, which is why I think it's effective. What I liked about Cosmic Ghost Rider 3 was that as Uatu the Watcher, he's setting the stage for the insanity that's about to happen, which is great. You know, like you almost feel like you're in on the joke a little bit with him talking about it. You know, and then there's just a lot of great lines. The things I like the most is just some of the quotes. The lines just make me laugh. Little baby Thanos going, well, can you kill them? And he says, no. Well, yeah, it'd be pretty easy. And he goes in this whole thing saying
totally murder these guys.
Like stuff like that is a good character building, you know, because it's like he's trying to be good. He's trying to be a good example. And no matter what he does, he's making it worse and worse. You know, when they're describing the new Guardians characters, you know, they're kind of going through, you know, there's Jubilee, Nuff said, like all these like little jokes. And my favorite is the Iron Rocket or whatever. It's Rocket Raccoon. He's wearing kind of like a Groot armor suit. And it says, shut up, you like it. It says it right there in the description. Yeah. Shut up, you like it. I thought that was really funny. Stuff like that cracked me up. And I gotta say, Dylan Burnett and Antonio Fabella, the art team here, and the other people involved too, the letterers and stuff like that, they're doing a great job in my opinion. It's a very stylized book. It's not hyper real, but I think it fits for the character in my opinion. The expressions are really good. The fact that they can get so much expression out of A, Ghost Rider's skull, and B, little baby Thanos. You know, baby Thanos is kind of the comic relief in some ways because he's just along for the ride, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So when you see his face, you know, when all the Guardians get killed in such a horrific manner, except for Cable, his face, you know, it's just a small part of the panel. It's hysterical. Like, he's just there like, oh my God, like, what is going on here? And it's really kind of funny seeing this uber villain as a little child, as a little toddler. Ooh. That's really funny to me. There's a part where after all that happens, I think Ghost Rider is talking to Galactus, and he goes, well, Cable's still alive for whatever reason.
Like, yeah.
There's all these little jokes at the comic industry and stuff that, you know, almost stuff that the readers would be thinking themselves. He throws baby Thanos to Uatu. He says, watch, well, I need a sitter. Watch the baby. and then the word toss is written right over there. And I thought that was really great. And at one point, after baby Thanos starts, I think, like, killing everybody, he says, what did I tell you? No murder. That's right. No murders. That's right. That stuff was cracking me up.
I thought the best line was, oh, God. And I just had it, and now it's dropped out of my head. It was where Cable has shrunk Galactus and shot him into space like a bullet.
Right.
And Ghost Rider comes up. I said this in the synopsis. And he's like, why did you do that? Galactus never hurt anybody. Galactus never did anything to anybody. Like, it's Galactus. This guy eats planets.
Oh, my God.
It's the humor in this. I agree. Sorry to interrupt. But
yeah, no.
Yeah, I just,
absolutely.
It's great.
You know, and there's just, obviously, there's sheer brutality in this. There's no messing around. You know, and with that part you just referenced, I wasn't sure real quick if Galactus was big or has shrunk or if Cable was big. I'm like, what is it? Because it
was a little confusing.
But I mean, that's not a big deal. I'm curious about what Cosmic Ghost Rider fans think about him dispatching alternate versions of fan favorite heroes. You know what I mean? Maybe it's not, obviously it's an alternate tale and these are heroes from other realities, dimensions, planets, whatever. But it's very clearly specific heroes or homages. You know, there's poor Moon Knight was in there. Like everybody could imagine.
Everyone.
And Ghost Rider is completely destroying all of them. Like with reckless abandon. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's fitting for the series, but I wonder if you're like a fan, be like, oh, what the hell? You just made him overpowered. You know what I mean? Almost like how Namor was in the Avengers review we did last episode, you know?
Yeah.
So with all that being said, so I didn't have a lot against this one. Now moving to issue number 4, is this takes down a notch. This takes a break and is a little more of a character developing with like a character study between older Thanos and Cosmic Ghost Rider. And he's kind of showing him the world that they've built. There's a few nice twists in here, stuff that I didn't see coming, that it was going to be this kind of pristine, almost like a farm area, and this version of himself and his wife, all this kind of like this reality that's been constructed due to what Thanos has done to the rest of the world. You know what I mean? Amidst all the cosmic spectacle, it comes down to Frank Castle and older Thanos. So it's kind of the whole sins of the father concept, where it's like, no matter what he's done, he can't get away from this particular destiny. Like, he's stuck in this rut and he can't get out of that. And I thought that was really interesting. So, and plus they have the fight scene on top of the castle gravestone too. I thought that was a nice little imagery right there, where this battle. And I personally can't wait to see what happens in the 5th issue, which is the last of the series. So that's kind of my whole take on all that stuff. What did you think of 3 and 4?
Okay, yeah. Cosmic Ghost Rider. So one of my criticisms, like when we did the first issue, was that this series promised a lot of crazy shit, and the first issue didn't really deliver. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean it was a bad comic. It was a really, really good comic, but it wasn't what I was expecting from a Cosmic Ghost Rider series after what had happened in the Thanos Win story and everything that the hype for this series was saying going into it. The second issue corrected that. I mean, the second issue was much better than the first. It was really, really good. The third and fourth... the third issue continues the trend that the second one started, where it's just craziness after craziness after craziness with a whole lot of humor mixed on top. Mm-hmm. Like the Watcher's opening monologue is just brilliant. It's absolutely hilarious. And you've got all of the future iterations of the Marvel heroes that Ghost Rider, you know, at first he's trying not to kill anyone, but then he just mows them down. It's this really gratuitous ultraviolence that just really, really works. I hate seeing... Well, actually, I don't really hate... I don't particularly care that all these characters die. But it's weirdly gratifying to see Ghost Rider just murder his way through pretty much any Marvel character you can think of. Hero, anyway. Mm-hmm. And... the artwork sells it so well. Dylan Burnett, he goes all out with the carnage and all these weird future iterations of the heroes. The best bit is Cable, who each time he teleports away and comes back, he's older and more of a cyborg, because it takes him years in the future to upgrade and come up with new teams to fight against Ghost Rider, try and kill Thanos. It's just, it's really, really fun. It's really morbid, but it's really, really fun. Mm-hmm. And there's all the jokes, like throwing the baby to the Watcher and saying, here, watch this baby, don't let him see what I'm doing. Or the bit with Galactus where Cable shrinks him and shoots him out of the barrel of his gun, and Ghost Rider's like, what the fuck? Galactus didn't do anything to anybody. And it's, you know, he's a mass murderer. Galactus has killed billions of people. But that doesn't matter to Frank. He's just his buddy. And, hey, you know. So the third issue, I love the third issue. I just think it's great on just about every level. And you can see how at every step, all the things that Frank is trying to not teach Thanos, he's teaching Thanos, you know, he's teaching him to murder all of these superheroes, to where, you know, eventually Thanos does murder as a baby a whole bunch of superheroes, to the point where he's beating Cable to death with his own severed cyborg arm. What did I tell you? Damn it, Thanos, no murder. That's right, no murders. It's just, God, I love the third issue so much. It's so good. Then you get the reveal at the end where adult Thanos comes back in time and he is now the Punisher, which leads into issue number 4. And issue number 4 is kind of where I have my problems with this, because the craziness slows down to add a bunch of pathos to what's going on when Frank gets faced with what he's done, the consequences of what he's done by trying to raise Thanos. He's essentially turned Thanos into the Punisher. And you get to see what Thanos has done to Earth in this reset timeline. And of course it's idyllic until you see the grisly underbelly. And I don't know. I still think Kate's doesn't have a strong grasp on the Punisher. Because when he sees the city, the ghettoized city that Thanos has created in order to create the paradise, I don't think Frank's reaction is... It's not Frank Castle. You know, he says, this is not what I do. This is not what I want. You're making them suffer and you're torturing them. And, you know, Thanos says, I'm punishing them. And Frank says it's wrong. That's, I don't think Frank would see that as wrong. I mean, he wouldn't want innocent people to suffer. He wouldn't want them put in camps. But if Thanos has found a way to control the criminal element while having an idyllic rest of the earth, I guess, you know, Frank Castle executes criminals on principle. He's not doing it to save innocent people. He's just doing it because he hates criminals. So I don't see the Punisher really having that big of a problem with this. But it does lead into some interesting explorations, such as it, you know, Castle blaming Thanos for turning him into, essentially making him a monster no matter what reality they're in or what he does. But I still think it's hollow when Frank Castle says they deserve a chance to be forgiven. You can't just dole out death sentences because people don't fall in line. You know, he denies that that's what he does, but that's exactly what the Punisher does. And the Punisher, the Frank Castle that is the Punisher, has no qualms about this. He knows this is what he does, and he's made peace with that. So, I don't know. I like the slowdown, the confrontation between Thanos and Castle. Work as just a miniseries contained by itself, I think it works. But if you look at it as this is actually Frank Castle the Punisher, I don't think it works. That doesn't mean it's not a good comic, because this miniseries has been excellent on just about every level so far. There's a really perverse thrill in seeing Thanos dressed as the Punisher. I just think it's a really great image. And then the ending of issue number 4 has a nice bit where Punisher Thanos is now claiming Frank Castle again as his herald. I'm really, really curious as to where this is going to go after this, how this series is going to end. I mean, obviously it's going to end with the timeline reset and with Frank in the present day Marvel Universe, as you know, we'll get to when we review talk about our next comic, the Thanos Legacy, which, I mean, honestly, I think this is all I've got to say about Cosmic Ghost Rider now. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Continuing our Cosmic Ghost Rider coverage for today, we are looking at the Thanos Legacy one-shot, written again by Donny Cates, with artwork by Brian Level. And the purpose of this one-shot, of course, Thanos has been appearing in the Infinity Wars crossover event that Marvel's publishing right now, and that I have not been paying a damn bit of attention to. But what I did read was Thanos Wins, Donny Cates' arc on the most recent Thanos series. And this one-shot bridges the gap from the end of Thanos Wins to the start of Infinity Wars, where Thanos gets decapitated by Gamora, his daughter, who wants all of the Infinity Stones for herself. So this issue, it's got a lot of really great third-person narration, where Thanos, he's on Chitauri Prime, on the throne, and he knows that Gamora's coming to kill him. And he thinks back in the moments before his death to the end of the Thanos Wins storyline, where he uses the time gem to go back and essentially erase his own future. He erases his older self, old man Thanos, from existence. This explains how he did that. And he goes back to Chitauri Prime. The time gem disintegrates in his hand. And he leaves. The first place he goes to kill his own future is Las Vegas. To confront Mephisto, who is, of course, imprisoned in the top of the Inferno Casino at the end of the Doctor Strange Damnation event that we covered about 10 episodes back. Mm-hmm. Thanos punches Mephisto in the face, and Mephisto's like, "What the hell? What have I done? Is this about Hela's upcoming nuptials?" And Thanos just says, "Leave Frank Castle alone." And Mephisto's like, "Who?" He says, "You heard me, devil. Leave him be. And if you should need reminding, Thanos will be happy too." Then he stops and says, "What did you say about Hela?" And that dovetails into Thanos' appearances in Jason Aaron's Thor series, specifically Thor number 4, where he appears at Hela's wedding. But it skips over all that, and he goes back to Chitauri Prime, where he's thinking about his own destiny and says, and how best to murder it. Says, upon his arrival to his native timeline, and after assaulting the devil, Thanos became aware of the reemergence of the Infinity Stones. This, he thought, was how he would deny his future. With the gauntlet reassembled, the Mad Titan would break the hands of destiny and reclaim his fate. But, as Thanos would soon learn, from gods and demons to titans and kings, fate makes fools of us all. He knows that Gamora is on Chitauri Prime, even though she's disguised as this character, Requiem, and he knows that this is the end. This is what he's going to do to escape his fate. It says, the answer at long last to a billion-year-old riddle. What did Thanos do to erase his future? He died. And Gamora stabs him through the chest in front of everyone and then decapitates him with a smile on his face. And then it says, so here, at the end of the Titan's dreadful reign, the answer to another question. What will be the legacy of the Mad Titan? That one is fairly simple and quite obvious, really. His legacy is, and always has been, death. And it shows Gamora taking Thanos' severed head with her and leaving the body behind. And long after, someone else appears. It says, Thanos, his legacy is and has always been death. Death and, well. And it shows this person pissing fire on Thanos' decapitated body. And it says, well, you'll see. And it's Cosmic Ghost Rider standing there pissing on Thanos' corpse. And he says, it's about time. And he zips his fly back up. He says, he's all yours, boys. Eat up. And it's these wild animals, I guess, from the Chitauri world. And they devour Thanos' body. But when they bite into something, there's a ping. And it blows up the body along with the animals. And Cosmic Ghost Rider just standing there covered in gore. And a stranger comes up and says, careful, Ryder. His body is booby-trapped. Ryder says, yeah, and how the fuck would you know that? And it's Star Fox with a big cloak on his head. He says, because he's my brother. Now move. And Frank goes, oh, hey, you're Eros. I'm Frank. Most folks call me. And Star Fox sighs and says, I know who you are, Ryder. Everyone knows who you are. And Frank asks, how did you know to be here? And Eros replies the same way you did, I would imagine. And he says, I just felt it. I knew he was dead. And Eros says, precisely. You're connected to him, same as I. Where is his head? And Frank says, gone when I got here. Must have been taken by whoever set him on fire, I reckon. He says, right. Well, I'll need to find that next. And Eros stabs the body with a knife, digs inside the corpse. It says he's retrieving something before it sets off an endgame that will burn the universe to the ground. I'm afraid my lost brother has a war wrapped around his heart. And Frank says, wait, what could be inside that old dead piece of shit that could ignite a war? And he says, his will. And it's this futuristic looking device that almost looks like an Omega symbol. Maybe it means Thanos is really dark side. I have no idea. I have no idea what this means. Eros has retrieved it, and then that's where it says, to be continued. And there's another like backup story by Gary Dugan and Corey Smith, which we're not going to cover here. So that is where this issue ends.
So Thanos Legacy number one was a decent issue. It's, you know, for our purposes, we're sort of reviewing it with a little bit about, you know, about the Ghost Rider character, right? And he's a part of this, but it's not obviously his book. It's a Thanos book, you know? And I think this is kind of more, the book, in my opinion, exists to kind of tease further things down the line in the Marvel Universe, which is fine, but it's... For me, there's a confusing ending. It's like a tease for an upcoming event or whatever. What is it teasing, Chris? Like, is it War of the Realms, or do you know anything?
I have no idea. I assume it's Infinity War.
Okay.
Which,
yep.
Or like that Infinity Warps thing that's coming out. I really have no idea. Because I read Thanos Wins, of course, but I did not read any of this Infinity stuff that's been going on.
Yeah.
I had just heard in passing that Thanos was killed in the first issue of Infinity War. By Gamora, so I really have no idea where it's going. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy is picking up on this, since it's going to be a Kate series.
Right. So, I mean, it's interesting. I don't think it's it's an okay story. It's not, I don't think it's essential, but maybe it is. Maybe there's stuff that happens here that really ties into everything else, but for our purposes, it's not, because Ghost Rider is not a huge part of it. I mean, there's the part with Mephisto in Las Vegas, and stuff like that, but
it's a nice callback.
But is he basically, you know, I was a little confused even at that. So is he basically telling him to leave Frank Castle alone, so he'll never become the Cosmic Ghost Rider?
That's what I took it as.
He won't ever have to deal with it, or is he saying it because he has a soft spot for him now? I couldn't figure that out.
I can't see Thanos having a soft spot for him.
I think it's more the former.
Like, gotcha. I don't want to have to deal with this in the future. Yeah. So leave him alone.
Mephisto has no clue what he's talking about. Like, he's in his prison. He's like, what are you talking? Like, it must be so weird for him to be stuck on the top of that penthouse or whatever. Thanos shows up, punches him in the head, and then leaves, you know? So, I mean, you know, there's a couple little shout-outs to other Ghost Rider-related things. For example, in the Spirit of Vengeance movie, the Ghost Rider peeing, fire, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's that on this. I mean, you know, and I wasn't... it's not, like, an essential story. And I actually enjoyed the little... short story tagged at the end of this with Gamora.
There's no
dialogue, there's no words. It's just like her tale going down as a kid being an assassin, blah blah blah. But it has nothing to do with Ghost Rider. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not for me an essential story, but it's one of the weaker of the Thanos Kate's issues, but that's just me, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was well written.
Because
I like Kate's as a take on Thanos. And really, Cosmic Ghost Rider, his appearance here, I think it's teasing Guardians of the Galaxy. It's establishing that he is part of the 616 Marvel Universe. I don't even know if they still use that designation for the Marvel Universe. He's part of the main present-day Marvel Universe now.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all this meant. And it's a kind of comic that you don't see from Marvel anymore, where they have to bridge one comic to the next, one appearance to the next. I mean... most of the time, nobody would care what Thanos did between the end of his series and appearing in another crossover series. Nobody cares, usually. So it's kind of nice to see something like this. But ultimately, it's absolutely inconsequential. I really have absolutely nothing to say about it other than that. I didn't mind reading it. I enjoyed it. But
yeah, it's not a bad comic, but by any means, but yeah.
It is miles better than Thanos Annual number one that we reviewed last year. God, that was terrible. Well, I guess it wasn't last year. It was a couple months ago. But that was terrible. This was actually pretty good. It just, you can easily skip it. And I think that's what we're going to do for the rest of this review. We're just going to skip it, because it has Cosmic Ghost Rider in for a couple pages. He pisses fire on Thanos' corpse. The end.
Right.
All right, and we will move on. All right, and our final review of the evening is What If Ghost Rider number one, the new What If one-shot that has on the cover. What if Marvel went metal with Ghost Rider? And I'm just going to warn you, this synopsis may make no fucking sense at all, because this comic is inexplicably just batshit crazy. And it's called Hassenwald? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. So, apparently there's this... Okay. Robbie Reyes is an intern working at Marvel Comics, and Marvel has been contacted by this band, Hassenwald, who are a death metal band from Latveria that are accused of witchcraft, church burnings, grave robbery, and inciting auto-cannibalism. It says every place they've performed has experienced rashes of occult crimes and waves of mutilation. There's a whole franchise of horror films based on what one fan in Germany did. And they paid Marvel Comics to create them a custom Marvel comic that's going to have their own blood added to the printing ink. Which, of course, is a reference to the Kiss comic that Marvel did back in the 70s, where Kiss allegedly put their own blood into the ink as a promotional thing. But anyway, so Robbie's working as an intern, and an editor tells him that Hassenwald is coming to the Marvel offices, and Robbie is going to show them around the office, take them to the printer, and then drive them back to the airport, because Robbie is the only one there with a car. Robbie goes to the Marvel offices, and he meets the three members of Hassenwald, who seem like utterly normal people. There's Greyroth, the Flesh Weaver, guitarist and vocalist, the bassist, a girl named Ute of the Abyss, and then the drummer, the Unspeakable Horror of Necrotis. And they're all like big comic book fans, especially Greyroth. You know, he loves superheroes. And Robbie is taken aback by how normal they are. And Eli is talking in his head, saying, gotta say, was kind of expecting a bit more bang from a pagan devil band. But Robbie shows him around the Marvel offices with a bunch of cameos of who I'm assuming are Marvel staff people, drawn to likeness, but couldn't tell you who they are. And then Robbie takes them down to the printing press, which is run by this old prospector-looking guy. Hassenwald paint themselves up, and they start acting weird. They cut their wrists and throats so their blood goes into the printer itself, and it infects the printer and all of the comic books. To create this What If Ghost Rider number one issue. And then when they touch it, they turn into like these black blob demons. And that causes Robbie to transform into Ghost Rider. They infect the printing press and it turns into this like Cthulhu looking giant monster. The comics get shipped out, the infected demon comics, in a truck that's possessed by Hassenwald. Robbie chases him in the car. The truck goes off a cliff and explodes over the city and rains the demon comic books on everyone. They all read it, and it infects the planet. Robbie hears Hassenwald in his head as he's trying to drive through this demonic landscape where they say, "We are servants of the sleepless roots, the god with no name. With our final sacrifice, we cross the threshold of what was to what should be, to transcend the coil and step beyond death." And he says, "With a freaking comic?" Then they reply, "Is that so strange? All reality is a story, susceptible to edits, vulnerable to rewrites. The blank page holds power, the power to change reality. What better way to go beyond death than write ourselves into a story where the grave is merely a pit stop, where heroes and villains leap across that final threshold on a whim, a universe where death holds no sway, and a world without death is a world without life." And that montage was intercut with all these scenes of Marvel characters dying and that have come back to life, like Elektra and Wolverine and Gwen Stacy. And Robbie wakes up, and Hassenwald has taken over the world. And Robbie is the only one with any memories of his universe. He arrives in a demonically transformed Times Square, and with giant monster demons in the sky. And Eli says, "When you've got nothing left to take for them, when you've got nothing left for them to take, give them hell." And Robbie drives off to fight the demons. And that is where this inex- inexplicably bizarre comic ends. And that probably made no sense at all. You should just go read it. All right, Brian. So, what if Marvel Comics went metal with Ghost Rider? Wow, what do you think?
Yeah. What if Marvel Comics went metal with Ghost Rider? By Sebastian Gerner and Casper Wingard. Okay, I'll tell you guys what I liked about it. Is a lot of the art is very cool. Is very well done. And Casper has been teasing a lot of stuff for a while because this story has been steeped in mystery, shrouded in complete, you know, we don't know what this thing was going to be about. And I appreciate that in this day and age.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, so in terms of the art, there's a couple little inside jokes there. So who's the guy who's Robbie's talking to? Is that C.B. Sibolsky? Who's that guy?
I have no idea. Okay. Like I said in the synopsis, there's all these people that I assume are real-life Marvel staffers and editors.
Right.
I couldn't tell you who they are. Is it possibly the editor of this book? I don't even know who the editor of it is, but maybe that's who it is. Or maybe it is C.B. Sibolsky.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
It's Marvel editor guy.
That's a Marvel editor guy. There's a lot of that in this.
Yeah.
You know, my main thing that I'll talk about in a second is that this feels like it was an inside joke of a book that we are not in on completely.
Yeah.
This was written for the Marvel staff, almost as like, you know, a holiday gag gift kind of a thing. It was never supposed to be released, but because there's just a lot of elements that's not, I don't think, for the average reader. I think if you work in Marvel... It's a funny book. It's a great book because you know this guy is this person, and there's this guy, there's Greg, or I was like, huh, Greg who? Greg Pan? I'm like, who are these people? So that's one of my issues with it. Going back to the Robbie intro, you know, there's the part where the editor, whoever it is, clicks the make it rain button, I think, under the table. It says make it rain, and he hits the button, and money comes down from the ceiling. Stuff like that was you don't need a lot of context for, was silly. But, you know, I like when Robbie meets the rock band and the metal band, not rock. And I like, he's got all these horrible names, you know, and one of the guys goes, well, just Chris is fine, please. You know, it's just very, you know. But, yeah, it's, like, it is amusing seeing Graroth, the character, the metal guy, pining for his love of Marvel. Like, he's kind of going, and you can tell he's really passionate about it. There's a couple different illustrations of him kind of talking about it. In those editorial working away, there's all the people with the little clickly clacking away, you know. One guy's got a screen of Solitaire. One guy's got, it looks like Super Mario Brothers on there. But yeah.
Magic happen.
Yeah, right, the magic happens. It's like, oh, but it's so depressing. Oh, it's better than I ever thought. You know, stuff like that was amusing. I liked it a little bit better the second time I read it. I did appreciate the image of the famous comic book death scenes, you know, that they had.
Yeah.
Of Elektra and Gwen Stacy and all these other famous ones, too. Like, that kind of played into their little obsession. And I liked at the end that Robbie had the guts to fight in, you know, into a world that he's not familiar with. Like, he had the courage to go and do that. So that says a lot about this alternate version of Ghost Rider, of this character. Now, what I didn't like about it is, like I said, it feels like it's not really a book for the fans.
Yeah.
There was a mystery whether this band was real, whether it's fictional.
Yeah, that was my big question. You know, this had been promoted in the solicits. It's a real death metal band that's been inserted into the Marvel Universe to interact with Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Hassenwald, I don't know quite how to pronounce it. I assume it's Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm.
I tried Googling that. And the only thing that came up was stuff about this comic.
I did.
So I'm assuming they're not real.
And it kept on calling them Latverian, which is, you know, the
true
Doctor
Doom's country.
I mean, I mean, you know, it sounds a little silly now, but I looked them up as well. I did the same thing you did. I Google searched it. I'm like, am I missing something? Because I have a lot of friends that are really into all that metal stuff. You know, they love all these bands. And I'm like, you know, like, my friends would probably appreciate this comic more than me. And I'm a Ghost Rider fan just because it speaks more to the metal fan than the Ghost Rider, I think, as a reader. It's a very metal book, but in my opinion, that doesn't make it good. You know what I mean?
What it reminded me of, do you remember the cartoon series Metalocalypse?
Metalocalypse, yep.
This was Death Clock. I mean, that's what this is. Talking about a death metal band that is you know,
yeah,
on the FBI's most wanted list and
over
inciting
the top
riots,
yeah, right,
and
right,
the most
exactly
popular band in the world. They right essentially took Death Clock,
yeah,
rearranged it a little bit, and stuck them in a Ghost Rider comic with a lot of inside jokes to Marvel staffers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Sorry. Continue.
No, it's, I mean, it's, I'm pretty much, I'm almost done. I mean, that's kind of my thing too. If they had made it like a Death Clock, I know that's a slightly older show at this point. It's a couple of years back, but if they'd done that, I would appreciate it more, because I used to
yeah
watch that show.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we paid $4 for, or if you bought it, whether digital or in print, for a book. It's a series of inside jokes. It has, I consider, no resolution at the end whatsoever. And I know that's a what if kind of a thing, but you know, it's not a story. It's a series of unfortunate events.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some bad crap happens to the Ghost Rider, or to Robbie more than anything, and he has to deal with it. And it's obviously, it's totally off the wall. I don't think you're meant to take this seriously.
No, absolutely.
I can appreciate that, but it's, it wasn't enjoyable for me. Like, there's a lot of books that are not meant to be taken seriously that I enjoy. And this was not one of them for some reason. And I feel like I'm missing something, because there's people out there being like, this is the best comic of the year, hands down. Oh my God, it's metal as hell. And I agree, it is metal, but I don't think that makes it enjoyable for me. Like, I almost feel like it should have been like a $1 web comic, or like a little, like, I probably would have enjoyed it more, because as a, like a little digital release or something. I'm like,
sure,
okay,
yeah,
that's cool. But it was, for all the hype for this, I thought it was an utter failure. All flash and no substance is basically my review for it. So I wouldn't recommend this comic unless you're really into metal, which, like I said, some of my friends are really into that stuff. They'd probably dig this more than anything, but that's my review. I did not enjoy this one.
You know, I have to say, the first time I read this, I was so taken aback by the sheer what the fuckery of it, mm-hmm, that I was like, this is actually really, really interesting, and this is mm-hmm kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I read it a second time, and all the flaws in it stuck out.
Mm.
All the stuff that I thought was, that made it good the first time I read it, now just grated on me.
Mm.
You know, like, okay, it's a what if Ghost Rider special, but it has nothing to do with the concept of what if. You know, all the other, every what if comic from the 1970 series to the most recent one shots that came out alongside this had a clear purpose. What if Spider-Man was the Punisher was
right
a recent one.
Right.
What if, you know, Wolverine killed the Hulk? What
mm-hmm
if Dark Phoenix lived? There's always that. This is just, hey, we're going to throw in this made up death metal band, and we're going to
mm-hmm
have Ghost Rider do stuff with Marvel comics, and then we're, that's just it.
And the world ends. I think that's the only reason why it's a what if, because it's an apocalyptic
yeah
tale of what if these people got their wish. And it is bonkers. It's totally crazy, but it didn't work for me. Yeah.
Now the ending was the only part that on the second read through, I was like, okay, I like the ending still, because
mm-hmm
it's so bleak, and but yet there's that hope of Robbie riding out, and there's
mm-hmm
that question of, okay, well, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
You'll never know, because there's probably never going to be a follow up to this.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the, you know, the whole death metal thing band has involved, where they're actually these really normal people, and it's all hype that they're satanic cannibals,
yeah,
and all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
But then they turn out they are demon worshippers who want to bring about the end of the world, and
mm-hmm
by infecting a printing press that then spits out
yeah
the comic you're reading to
right,
infect
right, yeah
people. I appreciate going, okay, I mentioned last episode how there's a difference between ridiculous cool and ridiculous stupid.
Mm-hmm.
First time I read this, I thought it was just the right amount of ridiculous that made
mm-hmm
it actually a really cool story. Second time through, no, it jumps that shark completely
mm-hmm
and it goes into stupid, because it's, there's no explanation. Like, why is Robbie Reyes working for Marvel Studios, Marvel Comics? He just is. Okay. Okay, fine. The Marvel staff know he's Ghost Rider. Okay, fine. But they produce a comic about Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider. Okay, fine. I get that this is supposed to not be taken seriously.
Yep.
But then you have the back half of this.
Yeah.
That is dead serious.
Yeah.
That's this exploration of death in the Marvel Universe, and what these
yeah
beings are going to do, and what Robbie is going to have to do to sacrifice to survive in this now completely demonic world.
Yeah.
I don't know. This comic is schizophrenic. It doesn't know what it wants to be. And that's why I don't think this was meant to be a what if one shot with the rest of these. I think this was some unrelated thing that they had on their production schedule. I had no idea how to market it. Because they couldn't just put it as a Ghost Rider one shot because of the ending to it and all the continuity stuff. I did like at least Uncle Eli had a presence in it because he's been missing for quite a long time. Mm-hmm.
But if you're a new reader, here's my issue with Avengers stuff too, with the Avengers comics. If you are completely new to the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, you have no clue who Uncle Eli is. There's not a ton about that voice in his head. You know what I mean? And it is a complicated thing. Even in the Ghost Rider, all new Robbie Reyes comics, I mean, that was a complicated issue that they're really kind of glossing over. Right now, it almost seems like they're friends, basically. But they've had a very antagonistic relationship. So, I mean, yeah, it's a story, but it's totally crazy. And I think it's really funny that I hated this book when I first read it. And on a second read, I didn't hate it as much. And I think you almost kind of went the other way.
Opposite.
A little bit.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, I don't know, man. I mean,
I will say I really love the artwork. Casper Wingard.
Yes.
I thought the artwork was amazing, especially when you get into the demonic realm stuff with almost like Cthulhu looking things and growing onto the buildings and up in the sky.
Yeah.
I thought the artwork was amazing. That was the best part of this was the art. You know, of course we didn't get all the likeness references to the Marvel stuff.
That's not the end of the world, but you know, it's like, you know, I'm a fan of movies and stories that have cliffhanger endings or they don't have a solid resolution. I'm cool with that. Like, but there's a difference between that and having a story that you couldn't come up with an ending completely.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of, you gave up. Like, oh, and then it's an apocalypse. Give them hell. And it's like, that kind of pissed me off, actually, when I read this. It kind of bugged me. And then I think, actually, some of our friends in the podcast community might be reviewing this issue as well, actually.
I can see a lot of people talking about this.
I'm really interested to see how they take it versus how we took it, you know?
Yeah. I think it was an interesting failure of an experiment. It's not a Ghost Rider story.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider's inconsequential to this completely. You could have put any character in this role. Like they said, Robbie, the only reason you're here is because you're the only one with a car.
Right.
You know, it's... So, I mean, any character could be slotted into this. So
does he do anything? Does Ghost Rider do anything?
He chases the van, the truck with the possessed comics, doesn't catch it, falls through their demon portal thing, and then wakes up in Demon New York and rides away.
That's it. So he doesn't really fight anybody. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So
maybe should have had a different character. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend this either. I am a big metal fan. You know, I listen to a lot of heavy metal music. But even that, like, the jokes went too far with it, and it's so disconnected the first half from the second half. If you do pick it up, do it for the artwork because the artwork is amazing.
Artwork is great. The artwork is this. I actually get this. Last night I was doing the review. I texted pictures to my buddy who's not a comic fan. He's like, "That's awesome. That's badass." Like for that alone, it's great. So the art is phenomenal. But I just think the story does not work. You know, but.
I would have to agree. All right, well, that's going to wrap us up for yet another new episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, you can find us on Twitter at InnerDemonsGR, on the Vengeance Unbound blog at vengeanceunbound.blogspot.com, and on Facebook at facebook.com/vengeanceunbound. Yep. Next episode, we'll be back hopefully maybe about 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks, something like that. And we'll probably have some... We'll go back to our classic reviews. I miss doing those. Yes, after all. We've had some pretty... I mean, Cosmic Ghost Rider was really good. But other than that, we've had some really disappointing comics, in my opinion, to review over the last two episodes. So I really, really want to do that Ghost Rider and Thing Christmas issue. That's next. And I really, really want to talk about it because that comic is amazing.
Chris,
so.
We're never happy, Chris, because when we only had the old issue to rely on, we're like, you know, it'd be really sweet. You know, somebody at Marvel would make some new freaking issues. Hello. You know, you go back, listen to our early podcast episodes.
Yes,
now,
this is true.
Like, these last two episodes of our podcast, Chris, have been nothing but new. And it's like, geez, it'd be nice to get some classic stuff in here, guys. Come on now. You know,
there's no pleasing ghosts. There's no pleasing inner demons.
No,
I'm sorry.
We're like the member berries from South Park. Remember Danny Ketch? I remember. You know?
It's fantastic. Remember Johnny Blaze? I remember.
Oh my god. And that's sadly accurate. Is
you can't make us happy, you know.
Alright, well, everyone, thanks for listening, and we will see you again for a new episode. Brian, as always, it was a pleasure.
Same here, my friend. Take care.
Alright, peace.
Yes, Connor?
What's black and white and red all over?
A newspaper?
Not even close.
A sunburnt zebra?
What are you doing, Ray? Not even close.
Into the night. A Moon Knight podcast. A weekly podcast coming to you from the High Priest of Khonshu. Available on all good podcast catchers.